Tonight is the Yahrzeit. Yahrzeit literally means Yahr is year, Zeit is time. Meaning tonight begins the day which marks the year, the anniversary, to the passing of a student of ours. 3 years ago, Reuven Dov Bera Ezrachi. I didn't see the sign. No. We had a student named Dov. We dedicate our Dov's minute, our learning in his memory. He passed away in a diving accident in Sinai, in Dahab, at the Blue Hole. He was a diving instructor, among many other things, and he left this world without leaving behind a family after he did his Giyu. So we decided together, the students, that we'd dedicate to his merit our Dov's minute that we try to add at the end of our learning, 1 minute in his merit. So tonight is the Yahrzeit. And it's interesting how time keeps passing, but certain memories don't fade. Dov was a person who was exceptionally warm. He was a person who gave of himself selflessly. He gave, before he converted to Judaism, his home was open to troubled teens, to troubled youth. And then afterwards, he volunteered and he helped in the Lauder Foundation in Poland. And then when he was in Israel, wherever he was, he found the opportunity to help. It's interesting that one of the traits we aspire for is a trait of zrizut. A person who is zariz is a person who does things with alacrity, but it's also an attitude. When a person awakens in the morning, so sometimes it's only the mind that becomes half awake. And sometimes it is everything about a person that becomes awake. In every action we do, we can participate half-heartedly, and half-heartedly means we drag our feet and we do it on a low flame, or a person can do it with excitement and do it with their whole heart. And whenever something involved his fellow man, so you'd see Dov quick to the punch, quick to do it, quick to see how he could help other people. And he touched many hearts when he was here. Some people with what he did, and some people with his warm smile. So tonight we'll dedicate our learning to him. His neshama should have an aliyah. Reuven Dov Bera Ezrachi ben Avraham Avinu. We bless his memory, and we will learn our learning in his merit. And perhaps we'll start with a quick halacha. Maybe better we'll start with a story. This is a story that's not well known, and it's a fantastic story that is quoted in the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis. We all know that the Second Temple was destroyed by the Roman Empire. And anyone who reads Josephus, the War of the Jews, the Jewish War, sees that the whole period of the Second Temple was a period where wars were just ongoing. We think of the period as relatively tranquil. You know, you had the Greeks entering, and then you had the Hasmoneans winning. When you read Josephus Flavius, you start seeing that the whole period of the Hasmonean kingdom until Herod was a period of just murder after murder, and you have kings there who crucified 800 men and sat down and drank wine as they watched the men slowly dying. Terrible things in our history. And then we come to the low point, it would seem, to the point of the destruction of the Second Temple. And the following story is quoted in the Medrash Rabbah, that after the destruction of the Second Temple, in the period of Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah, now Rabbi Yoshua was a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. Remember Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the disciple of Hillel, the leader of the Jewish people, who went out and told Vespasian that the Senate would appoint him as emperor. And so Vespasian granted Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai 3 wishes at the destruction of the temple. And one of the wishes was to grant the city of Yavne and its sages. So the next generation already, the generation of Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah, the Roman king entertained the thought to allow the Jews to rebuild the Second Temple. Titus had destroyed it, and now the Roman king thought that it would give him great honor and glory if the nations would see how he rebuilt the temple of the Jews. And he also thought that the Jews would be more faithful to him, would honor him more. Because one of the things that plagued the period of the Second Temple was the constant rebellion against the Roman Empire, specifically in Judean territory, but not limited to Judean territory. So the king declared that the Jews are hereby granted permission to rebuild the Second Temple in Jerusalem. And when the Jews got word of that, they obviously rejoiced and prepared for the building. And Jews started immigrating from Egypt and Babylon. And Jews started coming in mass to rebuild the temple. Now, the Jews in Israel were very happy that more Jews were returning to the land of Israel. And they gave assistance to the new Olim. There were two Jews who were exceptionally active in helping their brethren, and these were two brothers who we've encountered in some other stories. They are the brothers Pappus and Lulianus, extraordinarily wealthy, and they declared that wherever new immigrants come, they will help support them, they will give them food and money and a place to sleep. Now, in the valley of Bet Rimon, many Jews gathered, and everyone was happy that they were going to again rebuild the temple. And at that time, living in the land of Israel, we had the Kutim. Now, the Kutim were people who were brought into the land of Israel at the destruction of the first temple. And the Kutim, when they originally came in, they were imported by the Assyrian king. The Kutim were imported, and the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar brought them in to inhabit the land of Israel when he exiled the Jews. And they weren't Jewish, but they started being attacked by wild lions, so they said, we have to learn how to appease the god of the land. So they did a mock gear. They didn't do a real gear. Now the Kutim, they were very happy that the Jews were leaving the land of Israel in the destruction of the Second Temple, and they didn't want the Second Temple to be rebuilt. The Kutim had interfered during the period of the building of the Second Temple, when Ezra came back with the permission of the Persian king Koresh to build the Second Temple initially. The Kutim would attack, and so they'd have to build with armed guards. They'd spend half the people were busy protecting during the period of Ezra, hundreds of years earlier, when we built the Second Temple initially. And now that we were rebuilding the Second Temple, the Kutim sent... this would be the Third Temple, this would be the rebuilding of the Second, right? The Kutim sent word to the Roman king, and they said, we want you to know that if Jerusalem will be rebuilt, and the temple will be rebuilt, as is in plan, the Jews will again rebel against you, and they will stop paying you taxes that they're paying now, and you should know that you will suffer a great loss. And the king had second thoughts. And he thought that the Kutim were coming to benefit him. And so, he regretted him in giving permission to the Jews to rebuild the temple. But once he already declared in the king's name that he's giving that permission, he can't come turn back on his word. So what could he do? So he asked the Kutim, he said, you know, I promised the Jews already. Jews have been moving on my promise. What can I do now? So the Kutim, they were very cunning, they said, declare that the Jews can rebuild the temple, but not on Mount Moriah. Tell them they can either build it on a different mountain, or they have to change its shape. And the Kutim knew that we have a tradition, a specific way, in a specific place, where we're allowed to build the temple. And the Kutim said, so when the Jews will get this declaration, they themselves will rescind, that they themselves will forfeit the right because they have no choice. So the king agreed, it's a great idea. And he sent word to the Jews in Bikat Bet Rimon, that if they want to build their temple, they have to do it in a different location, or at least change its shape, change its measurements. And when the word came to the congregation gathered in Bet Rimon, they were all prepared to ascend to Jerusalem and build the temple, They were in shock. They were very sad. Oh boy, now they had a new decree from the Roman king and now they won't be able to build it at all. They all burst out weeping. And then they got upset and said, we won't listen to the king. Beforehand he promised and now he's making new decrees. We can't do that. We're going to build without his permission. And specifically on Mount Moriah and specifically with what we were taught by our prophets. And they agreed that they'll make a rebellion and they'd rebel against the Romans. And when the sages heard what happened, they realized that the situation was very dangerous. If there would be a rebellion, the Romans would come and they could kill, they could take revenge against the Jews. The few cities that remained would be in danger. So they had to calm the masses. What could they do? The masses are ready to rebel. And they told the masses, if we rebel now, there's going to be no remnant left to the Jewish people. Who could we send to calm the masses? So there was one great sage, Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah was wise. He knew how to talk to the Romans. He was an advisor to the Roman king. And he would also know how to talk to the masses. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah, by the way, was also the great rabbi who, when the Christians tried to challenge our tradition, he always had an answer ready for them. So Rabbi Yoshua went as an emissary by the sages and he came to the valley of Bet Rimon. And when they saw the honorable Rabbi Yoshua, everyone prepared, they set a stage for him and they were all ready to listen. Rabbi Yoshua got up and said, listen, my brethren, let me tell you an allegory. There was once a lion that destroyed a great animal. And as he was eating this animal, a bone got stuck in his throat. He couldn't swallow it. He couldn't spit it up. And he was in great pain. And so he called out, come, O all the animals and the birds, save your king. Whoever saves the bone from my throat, I'll give him great wages. Along came a bird with a long stalk that's called Mitzri. And it stuck its neck down the lion's throat, grabbed the bone and pulled it out. The lion was very happy that it could breathe again and that he didn't have the bone stuck in his throat. And the bird asked the lion, give me my wages that you promised me. And the lion said, go be happy that you stuck your head down the throat of a lion and you came out alive and he didn't eat you. And that's your wages. Don't ask for anything else. Rabbi Yeshua continued and said, this is what happened to us now too. We expected something good from the Romans. We thought they'd stand by their promise. And they'd let us build the temple. And now they reneged on their promise and they don't want to let us build it. You're upset. You want to rebel. But we should be happy that these Romans are not trying to destroy us. Remember, they're the lions. We're in their mouths. They have the power. They could destroy us. So we don't have to expect any good from them because it's good enough for us without their favors, the mere fact that we're alive. And when Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah explained it to them that way, they accepted his words and everyone came back home and they accepted the decree, which they saw as a decree from above, that they would not be able to rebuild the second temple. Now, when we study history, we see that throughout the period of the Second Temple, the masses kept joining one rebellion after another. And you had thousands being slaughtered year after year. One of the reasons that Herod was successful in rising to power, it says in Josephus, was the fact that the people were so tired of the bloodshed that kept raging throughout the land of Israel. They just wanted a monarch who would be powerful enough to keep things quiet, which Herod was successful in doing. Now, the wisdom of Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah was not only in his capacity to calm the masses, it was also in his presentation. We find throughout our history that sometimes the difference between success and failure was all about presentation. King Saul and King David, they both sinned. But the prophet that came to King David began with a mashal, began with an allegory. And sometimes it's not a question of how just and how correct we are, but a question of how we can present it so that the other side can hear it. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah was brilliant. We find time and again in his presentation be it to the Christians that were just starting to challenge us, be it to the Romans, and here we see it with his own brethren, with the Jewish people.